So if you're able and willing, we invite you to stand with us as we seek him together. Let's pray. Our sovereign Lord and our gracious God, it is with large petitions that we would come before your throne of grace this night. And, Lord, we would come to you confessing the greatness and the weight of our own sin. Oh, Lord, that we ourselves have transgressed the holy laws of God. And if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, none could stand. But, Lord, we thank you for your great encouragement for us to freely confess, remembering that there is indeed forgiveness with you, that you might be feared. Oh, Lord, we would come. We would come claiming the name of Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. We would come claiming the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Although we would come claiming not any merit or righteousness of our own, but solely the righteousness of our mediator, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so, O Lord, we would come this night confessing. O Lord, are we not among the race of sinners descended from Adam, that through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin? And so death has spread to all men, for that all have sinned, that through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners. Lord, we confess to you that we were shaped, we were formed, that we were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. But Lord, we confess to you that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord, we confess the vanity and the coldness of our affections towards you. Oh Lord, that we have set our deepest loves and desires upon things that fade, things that pass, things that destroy, things that devour. We have set our love and affection upon things that are dark. Oh Lord, we confess to you that we continue to slough off the old self which loves the darkness. Oh Lord, we confess to you that our wills are hard and stubborn. Oh Lord, that our whole head is sick, our whole heart is faint. Oh Lord, from the soles of our feet to the top of our head, there is nothing in us but wounds and bruises and open sores. Oh Lord, we would cry out for deliverance this night, that you would have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love, that according to the abundance, the richness, the plenty of your tender mercies, that you would blot out our transgressions, that you would wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Oh Lord, we confess that it is against you and you only that we have sinned and done this evil in your sight. Oh, that you desire truth in the inward parts. And so, Lord, you, the searcher of hearts, we ask that this night you would search us and know us, draw out a full and honest confession. Oh Lord, we admit and confess our folly, our waywardness. Lord, we confess the danger that is in sin. Oh Lord, who are we to gain the whole world in exchange for our souls? Lord, we ask that you would forgive us our debts. Lord, that you would not treat us as our rebellions deserve. Oh Lord, we do come this night pleading the merits and the righteousness of Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. Oh Father in heaven, is it not him, Christ, your Son? Lord, have you not made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? So, Father in heaven, for the sake of Jesus, your Son, would you grant the blessing? Lord, give us to know the blessing of those whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are pardoned, whose transgressions are covered. Oh Lord, we acknowledge our transgressions. Lord, give us to know the sweetness and the joy of sin pardoned. Purge us, O God. Would you purge us with hyssop that we might be clean? Wash us that we might be whiter than snow. Lord, let the bones which sin has broken, let the bones which you have broken, let the bones, O God, let them rejoice. O Lord, would you restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Renew a right spirit within us. O Lord, we pray for the work of your strong and matchless grace in us. Lord, we pray not only for the forgiveness of sin, we pray, Lord, for the sanctifying of our souls. Oh Lord, that you would equip us and train us to walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Let your law be written upon our hearts. Let it be inscribed upon our mind. Would you give us the gift of faith, a faith that looks to Christ above all else, a faith that looks to you, Lord Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king. Would you work in us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom? Would you root out of us the love of the world and the things that are in the world? We pray that the love of Christ would increase and heighten in us. Lord, that we would long, Lord, that we would long to hear your voice speaking through the scriptures. Lord, give us to ever remember that you delight to hear the cries of your children. So, Lord, would you come into our midst this night? Would you sanctify us? Would you purge us? Would you cleanse us? Would you open our mouths that we might declare your praise? Would you train us to offer the sacrifices of God, which are a broken spirit? Oh, give us to ever remember that a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. Would you do much good to your church? Would you build up the walls of Zion? Would you be favorable unto her? Would you cause glorious things to be spoken of her? Would you give us an evangelistic zeal? Lord, as you restore the joy of our salvation, would you give us a burden, an intolerable burden for the lost? Oh, Lord, that we would see scores of souls drawn to the beauty of Christ. We ask your blessings to fall heavily upon this assembly tonight as your word goes forth. Lord, would you be the lifter of our head? Would you strengthen our hand in the Lord? Would you cause your power to be made known? Would you make us willing in the day of your power? Would you give us to go from strength to strength and let each of us appear before God in Zion? We love you, O Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let the whole earth be filled with your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight our text will come from the Old Testament, from Psalm 51. From Psalm 51, this is on page 600 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 51. You can see the title in the italics. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. David had spent some period of time after his dealings with Bathsheba and her husband. There had been some time. Nathan the prophet went to him, piercing him with the law. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who loved the Lord deeply. David was a man in covenant with God, not immune from the wiles of our enemy. As we read Psalm 51, I want you to consider the question, what do you do? What do you do with your sin? What do you do with your guilt? A related question, where is your joy? Is there any joy? One of the most important questions you will ever face is what to do with your sin. I was speaking with a young man this morning. We sow fig leaves. And one of the boys asked where Adam and Eve would have found thread for the sowing of the fig leaves. We didn't know. We speculated perhaps a hair from a horse's tail. We grasp at whatever we can. We find whatever's close by to cover our shame. That's the history of world religions. World religions are about grasping for horsetails and fig leaves, and doing what we can to cover up our shame, to cover our guilt. A couple of Lord's Day evenings ago, you and I considered true honor and false honor. In many ways, Psalm 51 is about the restoration of honor, true honor. Not esteem or praise or reputation, but character, standing, acceptance before God. In many ways, Psalm 51 is about the restoration of joy. If you're here tonight and you find that your joy is running on sips and fumes, perhaps this is where you need to dwell tonight, is Psalm 51. In many ways, this beautifully heartfelt psalm summarizes the beauty of the gospel. So let's read it together. This is David's prayer of confession and repentance, looking to the mercy of God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. And then bulls will be offered on your altar. Well, after Adam and Eve sewed the fig leaves together to cover their shame, after hiding from the presence of the Lord, he pursued them. And he spoke. And he gave the promise of the seed of the woman who would come to destroy the works of the devil who had deceived them. And he spoke promise to them. And not only did he speak promise to them, he also covered their shame in the only way that he could, and in the way that only he could. Do you remember what he gave them in exchange for the fig leaves? He gave them garments of animal skins. Blood had to be shed for those skins to be worn. Blood has to be shed for sin to be pardoned, for shame to be covered, for honor to be restored, and for your joy to be full. There must be the shedding of blood. This psalm points you to the one who shed his blood. Joy is restored. There is such a thing as restored joy. Restored joy is a path that runs through the waters of confession. That's the first thing I want you to see, that this restored joy goes straight through the deep waters of profound, searching, probing confession. Look with me at verses 1 through 6. So here is David, and he's crying out for mercy. He knows the character of God. He knows the law of God. He knows what sin deserves. He knows that he deserves the wrath and the curse of God to crash upon his head. And so he cries out for mercy. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Okay, we're coming back to his petitions for mercy, but for right now, notice the language that he uses. What is sin? Look at verse 1. It is transgression. So, speaking with the boys this morning, there is a line. What is transgression? Well, there is a line. And a transgression is going across that line. There is a boundary, and that boundary is crossed. Here is what must not be done. And a transgression is a willful crossing over of that border. Look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. So we have three terms as synonyms for this offense against God. Iniquity, sin, missing the mark. Look at verse 3. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil. Okay, so there's another word. Done what is evil in your sight. Okay, so what is sin? It is a transgression of the law. Sin is lawlessness, John says in 1 John 3:4. Sin is corruption. It is the opposite of all that is good and beautiful. Sin is evil. The way the Presbyterian pastor from the 1800s, William Plummer, the way he puts it, sin unmans a man. Very curious phrase. It unmans a man. Sin crushes. It separates. It isolates. Separates and isolates you from God. Separates and isolates you from other people. It is crushing. It is piercing. And it is ever before us. And until you find your rest in Christ, you are constantly searching and grasping for those horse tails and fig leaves to deal with it. And you have realized, after all of your efforts, after the works of your hands, trying to rid yourself of this dark unrest, you've come to the end of yourself, and you realize that there is nothing that you can do. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. The gospel is proclaimed so that weary, heavy-laden, crushed, isolated sinners could see a way of hope and light. This is a confession of guilt. It's a confession that he's not making excuses. He is not blaming his parents, his upbringing, his environment, his education, the economy. He's not blaming, but he is acknowledging in verse 5, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He is not blaming her, but he is acknowledging that he is part of a sinful race. He is acknowledging that he is of the race of Adam, and that due to Adam's fall, all of his biological descendants are included in this state of guilt and misery. So this is a confession of guilt. Now, what is guilt? Guilt is not just feeling bad about what you've done. That's part of it. But ultimately, the confession of guilt is a recognition of what you deserve. Guilt is objective, not merely subjective. Guilt is that there is a punishment that must be borne, and you're crying out to him for mercy. This is where the gospel begins. This is how joy is restored. Believe it or not, this is how joy is made full. You go, you face up to it, you own it. And you go through these waters, the waters of a deep and thorough confession. Because until you feel the weight of sin, your joy will not be full. And you will not know the sweetness and the richness and the abundance of pardon, what David goes on to plead. So there's a confession of guilt, but the second thing I want you to see, there is a petition for purity. So there's a confession of sin, but then these waters of the gospel, there is a petition for purity, a purity that begins with forgiveness. There can be no cleanliness of heart without forgiveness, without pardon. There can be no true obedience without pardon. Because without pardon, there is no favor of God. There is no communion with God. And so the very first thing that you need is pardon for sin and a peace that endures. He's praying for mercy, verse 1. And notice the ground. What is the ground of his petition? He's filling his mouth with arguments. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Suit, not what you would put on for church, but a suit as in a lawsuit. You're making your case. You're making your argument. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. What is David's suit? What is his case? What are his arguments? Look at verse 1. According to your steadfast love. He's pleading the character of God. According to your, not simply mercy, but abundant mercy. It's a plea for purity that begins with pardon, recognizing the attributes of God. Call those attributes of God. Call them up before your mind. Call them up before your soul as you make these petitions. Call them out one by one. Plead the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God. Look at his petitions in verses 7 through 10. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Hyssop, this is what they would use in the ceremonial law for cleansing, for purification. They would use it in connection with the Passover. They would use it in connection with the sacrifices. Hyssop, cleansing. Wash me, verse 7, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, where does that cleansing come from? What is the gospel hyssop? Is it not the blood of Christ? Is it not the Spirit of Christ? Is that not what Jesus does in the gospel? That he not only forgives your sin, no, it's a whole gospel. He not only forgives your sin, he washes. He purifies. He removes the stain. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Look at verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness. This is about joy restored. What is the gospel about? The gospel is about your joy being made full. And being made full, not in the created things. Not after the arm of flesh. No, your joy is restored by looking to the promises of God. Let me hear. What does he hear? He hears. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Let me hear joy and gladness. Where would you hear of joy and gladness? What does Jesus say in John 15? I've spoken these things to you so that your joy might be full. Let the bones that you have broken, the hand of the Lord has been heavy upon him, bringing his conscience to a deep awareness. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. You hear the earnestness, the strong language that he's using? And then he prays, look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. And this is David, the man after God's own heart. And he's praying not only for forgiveness. He's praying for a complete renovation. Is that not what sanctification is? That it's not just about your sin being forgiven. It is about sin being replaced. Oh, that there is this creating within you. What does the Apostle Paul call you? A new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, new creation, Paul says. And renew a right spirit within me. How many of us have felt time and again that our spirits are just not right, that something is off? Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Oh, in his favor is life. In his presence is fullness of joy. And he shudders to think of being cast away from the presence of God. Look at verse 11. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. What is the Spirit's work? Is this not the Spirit's work? To show you the things of Christ? To cleanse, to purify, to purge you with hyssop? What does the Spirit do? He glorifies Christ. He glorifies the Son. He bears witness with your spirit that you are indeed, even the chief of sinners, you are a child of God, and if a child, then an heir. An heir of God. An heir of God. And joint heir, a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. That's where joy is restored. That's where you are upheld with that willing spirit. It's a confession of guilt. It's a petition for purity, a purity which only he can work. And you know, this is not what he does. Come to me, he says. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. You know, that's not only about forgiveness. That is about life. That's about you living, walking this path of discipleship with him. Take my yoke upon you. Matthew 11. So the third thing I want you to see from Psalm 51, you do have this confession of guilt. And you do have this petition for purity. But what else do you see? You also see a resolve to press on. He looks ahead. He's not looking back, he's looking ahead. And when he looks ahead, what does he resolve? Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Where does that evangelistic burden and zeal come from? Does it not come from a deep confession of your own sin, having experienced in your bones the depth of conviction and the cleansing power of the blood and spirit of Christ? Is that not where that fire comes from? You know, the prophet Jeremiah talks about the word being as fire in his bones. Now, where does that fire in your bones come from? Where does that love, that boiling over love and zeal come from? Does it not flow out of a heart that has felt the love of God shed abroad in it? Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. And so there's a resolve to speak. Now there is a resolve, verse 14, to sing. Why do we sing? We sing because we can't help it. We sing because our hearts are boiling over. My tongue will sing aloud of what? Will sing aloud of your righteousness. Okay, you might not be able to carry a tune, and your volume might be a little bit lower, but you still sing nonetheless, even if it is whispered. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. And he speaks of worship. What is the worship that grows out of the gospel? It's not merely the offering of ceremonial sacrifice. Now, y'all, he's writing and he's praying during the season of ceremonial sacrifice. But he gets it. David gets it that the ceremonial law was never intended to be about merely externals and forms. It was always, from its appointment under Moses, it was always intended to be this. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And then he prays for the revival and the beautifying of Zion. Verse 18, do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Well, a heart that has felt the goodness and the kindness of God in the gospel, that's the most natural petition in the world. Lord, do much good, not only to my soul. Lord, do much good to your people. Let them also sense and experience the depth of this mercy. Do good, not just to me, but to Zion corporately in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight. Speaking this Lord's Day morning of worship that is offered according to the law and the testimony. What is worship that brings him delight? Y'all look at verse 19. Then you will delight in right sacrifices. What is the right sacrifice? Verse 17. A broken and contrite heart. Oh, that he would break our hearts before his throne. That he would give us to feel deeply the weight of our own sin. And he would lift our head to behold the goodness and the kindness of God in Christ. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing spirit. And may that be your prayer. May that be your joy. May his son be your portion. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, this night we would love and sing and wonder. Lord, we would sing aloud of your righteousness. We would sing aloud that truth and justice join and point to mercy's store. Oh, Lord, we ask that this night you would indeed pardon our iniquities. Oh, Lord, that you would forgive us our sin. And, oh, Lord, that you would create in us clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. And, oh, Lord, that you would open our mouths that we might declare your praise. Lord, that our joy might be restored so that when we do speak, our very countenance beams with the light and the goodness and the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you bind up the testimony and seal this teaching among your people? And give us to go from strength to strength until we appear before you in the heavenly Jerusalem. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.